Welcome to the 5 Seconds of Fame podcast. My name is Trevor Reddick, and we are back covering another episode of The Bachelor. It was the overnight dates, the final three. And you know, we're getting to the end here, and of course, I gotta introduce the man himself, a man who I'm sure would not have enjoyed that camping date, Brandon Siegel. How you doing?
I'm doing very, very well. And here's the thing, you're 100% right. I would have hated the camping date. That is not for me. I don't like the outdoors. I don't want to be involved with the outdoors. I don't want to be anywhere near where a spider could possibly be. That's kind of my philosophy on life. If there's a spider there, I don't want to be there. And I actually had a discussion with the third member of our podcast, Ben O'Brien, who, you know, I'll say how you doing to in 1 second. But we talked about how there's these crazy spiders in Australia, and I want to be nowhere near those spiders. So, Ben, how are you doing today?
Doing well, Brandon, and yeah, I mean, you just don't seem like the camping guy. I mean, I think there's a lot of places you'd rather be than camping. Pretty much anywhere else you'd rather be than camping, and I get that. I mean, I definitely wouldn't say I'm into camping, but I like to be outside. I don't prefer to sleep outside, so I'm cool with hiking, but I'd rather be somewhere inside, not in a tent, if I had the choice of where to sleep. So I wouldn't say I'm necessarily a hiking guy, so I get where you're coming from, Brandon.
Yeah, the less being outside, I think, the better. And there's enjoyable aspects about being outside. I like playing sports outside, going on a walk with my girlfriend or something like that. But sleeping outside and, like, being in, like, the wilderness, that's not for me. It's not for me at all.
Yeah, I think ultimately that's the thing for me, too, is sleeping outside. Like, I can be outside. You know, I can, like, sit around the fire and, like, have some great conversations at night. You know, but sleeping in a tent, sleeping outside. And, yes, they didn't sleep in a tent or anything, but just... To me, when I think of camping, true camping is like you're sleeping outside, you know, you're in the wilderness. So that part of it, I'm not really a big fan of. But either way, this episode, you know, I don't know. I think some people would maybe call it a boring one. Well, most people would probably call it a boring one. But nevertheless, you know, there were a few interesting things that I thought, a few surprising things that happened. And the main thing that was very surprising to me, kind of caught me off guard, was right at the start of the episode, and that was Matt's conversation with his dad. Now, this one was really weird to me, just because I feel like just throughout this whole season, it never felt like we got to know a ton about Matt. I mean, really, I don't think we know a lot about any of these people, any of the women, or a lot about Matt, and part of that's because Matt was never on The Bachelorette. It's like, okay, yes... You know, usually we have the lead, they're on either the previous Bachelorette season or the previous Bachelor season. With Matt, that's not the case. So that's part of it. But just in general, I thought that the whole season up until this point, the editors have just not really gave us a good background of, like, who these people truly are. And that's why when we got this conversation with Matt and his dad, I was like, do we even, like, deserve this conversation? This just feels so strange to me. And also, it kind of, to me, felt like it was toeing the line of, like, should this be a conversation that they're airing on television? Or should this be, like, a private conversation? I don't know. I felt a little iffy about that. But, I mean, I guess Matt maybe gave the okay. I don't really know how that works. But it just all felt very strange to me. However, I will say, the part of it that was good is that it was the most compelling piece of television we got all episodes. So that was really interesting to me. But Brennan, I know you had some thoughts on this. What did you think about this conversation?
This was the only part of the season that I felt like I was speechless watching it. And I think you make a good point. Was this something to air on TV? And I know people on Twitter were upset. They were like, oh, this probably, you know, this is what The Bachelor's doing now to get ratings. But this conversation was so genuine, and I felt like I was, it's the type of thing where I felt awkward watching it, because I felt like I was there. I felt like I was, like, in the moment, and we really got to see a part of Matt we aren't used to seeing or have seen at all this season. Every time he talks with one of the girls on the season, it's just the same thing. He just repeats the same stuff. This was such a genuine conversation from the heart. That aspect I liked. Obviously, if I were Matt in this situation, I wouldn't want all of this just, like, out there, you know, for everyone to see. It just seemed like more of a private conversation. The thing about this, though, is that it was so interesting. Like, I felt like I didn't want to be there, but I didn't want to look away. So it was the first part of the whole entire show so far. We had no bullying, just straight up just, like, a good moment where, you know, it seemed like he was happy at the end, and his father doesn't seem like the greatest guy ever, but it seemed like his father wanted to help and wanted to be there for him. It was such a different type of moment we've never really seen on The Bachelor, and it caught me so off guard.
Yeah, and it just felt like a very, like, a real, true conversation.
Yeah, because it was just real.
It wasn't, like, super, like, perfect. It was like, right. A complicated relationship, clearly, that he has with his dad. And then at the end, they kind of at least wrapped it up a little nicely. It's like, you know, at the end of the day, like, I'm your dad, and mm-hmm. I want to support you. And I like kind of how that it ended. But it was all just very strange to me. And then the one little funny piece we got in there was, I forget what Matt, the specific quote was. Brandon, do you remember what he said? He mentioned something about Chuck E. Cheese.
So I texted in our group chat. Hold on, let me pull it up real quick, because I texted it in the group chat because I couldn't believe he said it. And like, it's not the type of thing where you want to laugh, because like, it was such a serious moment, but it was pretty funny. He said, if we wanted to celebrate, we'd go to Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. So
which,
go ahead.
Which, like, in like, if you were to take that, like, out of perspective, it's so funny. But, like, it was such a serious moment, but it really was kind of a hysterical comment. In my opinion, that was the line of the whole season, that line right there. That's better than the Kit, gold car, gold Bentleys and red carpets line.
Yeah, it was up there. I don't know, it was certainly funny. Ben, what about you? Do you have any things to take away? What did you think about this conversation? Just compared to, you know, some of the other conversations we've got, it seemed like this was a very serious conversation. So what did you think about this conversation?
Yeah, and I think Brandon described it perfectly, because it's one of those where, like, it's hard to watch, but at the same time, you're so intrigued, you don't want to look away, right? And, mm-hmm. like, it was just so – and Brandon made a good point where – is so genuine. It was interesting, because we've seen Matt say the same thing over and over and over again to every girl all season long, right. Very monotone, kind of like a robot, because he's kind of boring. And it was just, he was so different in this conversation and what he was saying and the way he was acting, because you could tell, I mean, this is something that really bothers him. It's obviously affected him his entire life, and he really cares about it. And at the beginning of the conversation, there was frustration. You could tell there was frustration coming from Matt. There's frustration coming from his dad. They clearly right. have these issues. And again, it goes to the thing where you said, Trevor, where it's like, should this even, like, I don't feel comfortable airing this on television. Like, if I was in that situation, there's no way I'd want this airing in front of millions of people on national television. So it was so interesting. And ultimately, I mean, it kind of came full circle where it was frustrating at the beginning, but ultimately, you know, they hugged it out. They said, I love you. And his dad said what we kind of expected him to say the whole time when we saw this conversation was going to happen, is that I'm proud of you. I want to see you do well. I want to see you succeed, because you're my son and I love you. It just kind of took a route that we weren't expecting, because the first, you know, minute of that conversation, they started going at each other a little bit, and not yelling, but you could sense some frustration. And I was sitting here like, I don't know where this is going to go, but I don't see this going well. And like I said, ultimately it did end up, you know, ended up being fine. They were civil about it, but it was just so unique. It's really unlike anything I've seen on a show like this before, because it's not super, you know, the whole idea of this show is very, everything's perfect, you know, perfect situation. And this was the furthest thing from that. I mean, it was just different. And I mean, honestly, it made for good television. It was probably, like you said, probably the best part of this episode.
Yeah. And something you kind of said there is kind of hitting at what I think is, like, it just didn't seem like the same show. It seemed like a totally different show. From what The Bachelor is. But nevertheless, it was very interesting. Now, we did get into the overnights. The first one we had was with Michelle, and we had, like, this, they called it, like, the Pennsylvania Dutch Spa. It was very strange, of course. It was really just another typical, like, Bachelor date. Like, they've done a lot of these, like, either it's, like, a gross date, or it's just, like, a weird date, or it's something that's really out there, you know? And it was another one of these typical dates that they've had. And I think just, you know, I don't have any thoughts about really the date. It was weird. But with Michelle, I just come to like her more and more every single episode. Obviously, she came in late. And originally, it was just like, okay, we're jumping in. Michelle's getting the one-on-one. We know nothing about her. And yet, Matt's like, really likes her right away. And we don't know why. But now, I kind of can see why. Because I really like Michelle. But also, I feel like throughout this whole thing that, you know, I've like been asking myself the question, do I think Matt is actually ready for marriage? And I lean toward no. I've been leaning toward no all season, but I think Michelle is. So I think Michelle is ready for marriage, but Matt is not. So I think there's a little bit of a disconnect there. And I like their relationship, but I think there's clearly something missing there. And I don't know. I just like Michelle. That's really my main takeaway. Ben, did you have any takeaways from this date?
Yeah, I mean, and again, you kind of took the words right out of my mouth. It's hard not to like her, right? I mean, she's mature. She clearly knows what she wants. She's got a good job. She's got a great family. And she really likes Matt. Matt really likes her. So it's hard to take anything away from, you know, this date that they had other than she's really cool. And if she wins, good for her and good for them, because it seems like they have a good connection. It seems like they really like each other. So, again, I don't have a whole lot to say about the date or whatever, because the date was kind of whatever. But Michelle is really cool, and it's just, she's fun to watch, and she is definitely the type of person that you could see winning a show like this, because she really kind of has everything that someone like Matt would be looking for, where she's mature, she doesn't have a whole lot of drama, she's there for the right reasons, and she's fun to be around. So kudos to Michelle. It obviously, she came in late. She doesn't get the same amount of excitement because she wasn't there night one, but she ended up being a pretty decent cast member on this season, and obviously an extremely important part of the show this year.
Yeah, definitely. And I also think she would make a great bachelorette. I mean, I still would lean toward Katie. That would still be my first choice, just with all of the amazing, I think, television she brought, you know, for a lot of this season. But Michelle would be another great pick as well. Brandon, any final thoughts on this date?
Not much to add, but I will say I do agree with you. Michelle would be a good bachelorette. It sucks that Katie is the best pick just because of how fabulous she was on this season, but Michelle would be a really good pick potentially in the future.
Yeah, definitely. So then we get into the next overnight, which is Bree gets the next date, and Bree gets another outside date. It's she gets the camping date, as we kind of mentioned at off the top of the podcast. In the past, she's had the four-wheeler one. She had another one where they were outside and like getting like muddy, or I don't even know what it was, but mm-hmm. You know, she gets all these outside dates, and she said in one of her confessionals, she's like, I'm definitely not like an outside person at all, yet I'm getting all these outside dates. And that was clear from the first one-on-one where she was thrown off the four-wheeler. It was like, okay, it's pretty clear Bree doesn't like this date, and yet they keep giving her these outside dates. And, you know, from this date, like, yeah, we talked about, like, I like Bree, she's cool. But, you know, my thought from this date was just like, you know, this tells me that she's probably the one that's going home. And that is what ended up happening. It was like, I don't know. I didn't feel strong about, you know, I feel like their connection at the beginning of the season hasn't progressed a ton from where it was. I thought it was just like, okay, there's a really good first impression they got at the premiere. Then they have the one-on-one pretty soon. It's like, all right, they're off to a pretty strong start. And then I never really felt it like go up a lot. It felt like it just kind of got stagnant to me, their connection. So I don't know. I like Bree, but I wasn't surprised to see her leave later in this episode. What about you, Brandon? Any surprise here that Bree was the one to go, and any other thoughts from her date?
So not a ton to add for their date. Just not an enormous amount to get out of it. The one thing that I would like to talk about is she clearly was going to be the one to go, I think, this episode. I just think, going into this, it really seemed like Michelle and Rachel have these really strong relationships, and they've also had these really big moments. You know, Matt, obviously, when Rachel fell, that was a really, really big moment. And we've seen multiple times with Michelle, whether it was with the students, just her maturity she has. Clearly, Matt's very, very, very drawn to that. Not that he isn't drawn to Bree. You know, obviously, he is. But I think that she was definitely in third place coming into this episode, and it cemented that, you know, going into it and moving throughout the episode.
Yeah, and I think it was like interesting, like when they had their conversation, the piece about how they have the connection where, like, you know, neither of their mm-hmm. dads were really like all that supportive at all times, which was kind of cool to just hear them talk about that and have that connection. But ultimately, when you look at some of the other things that they had in common, it was like, I don't know, I feel like, you know, Michelle and Rachel maybe both have Bree beat there. It just seemed like, you know, the connections have been better, and it started to become more apparent in this episode. Ben, what about you? Any other thoughts on this date? What did you think about the s'mores? We got in a little outtake at the end where Matt was putting s'mores in like a tinfoil wrapper, and that did not turn out well. Any thoughts about that?
You know, and here's my thing about s'mores, and I feel very strongly about this. when I make a s'more, and maybe this is weird, but this is, I've always felt this way. I've been very passionate about this. When I make a s'more, and a lot of people like to completely fry the marshmallow. They want it black. No, I just get it a little warm. I don't want the marshmallow black. I don't want it a flame on it. I just get the marshmallow warm enough to where you can smush it down and maybe melt the chocolate a little bit. So I admit, maybe that's just me. Brandon, you strike me as somebody that gets their marshmallow. Actually, and you, Trevor, I'm getting vibes from both of you that you guys strike me as people that you want your marshmallow charred. You want that thing in flames before you put it on your s'mores.
Am I the only normal person here? I just want a golden brown marshmallow. I don't want it charred, but I don't want it not, I want it to just be golden brown.
Yeah.
Right? It might take a couple extra minutes to get there, but am I the only normal person? It seems he wants it burnt as ever. Ben, you're weird. You don't even want it cooked. And, I mean, what's going on here? Am I the only normal person, Trevor?
No, I think I'm with you. Here's what I do when I roast a marshmallow. I will stand over the fire, and I will, take it out every, 30 seconds and stare at it and analyze it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm trying to get, golden brown all the way around, and, I'm going for perfection.
Yes, exactly. You got to put the – and I put it, super high, too.
Yeah,
like, I don't want it even getting close to getting burnt. So, Ben, your analysis of us was completely wrong, basically.
You guys just gave me some vibes of charred marshmallows. And, again, and maybe part of it's just I'm impatient.
I'm not weird.
Maybe I'm just impatient. I don't want to wait for it. I want my s'more now. But, I mean, that's just me. That's just my opinion on the s'mores. To go full circle here, I'll wrap it up with Bree here. And it's really nothing different than what you guys said. It's just – she just – for whatever reason, she – gives off the vibe of third place out of these three women. I mean, just for whatever reason, it just doesn't seem like she's at the same level as Michelle and Rachel, and I think that's been clear probably for the last couple weeks. So for whatever reason, her and Matt they're just not there like Matt is with Rachel and with Michelle. So again, seeing Brie go home tonight, I don't think was a huge shock. I think based on what we've seen all season, it made the most sense. So again, Brie's really cool. It's just for whatever reason, her and Matt they just weren't where Matt is with the other women. So it is what it is, but at the same time, I understand why it happened that way.
Yeah, and also, last thing on Bree. She gave up her job to be here. Hopefully, hopefully she can get a way better job than what she had, because she deserves it. She's an awesome person, and yeah, I don't know. She's very normal for this show. It didn't seem like, she had maybe the personality for this show, but she seems like a great person, and I hope she gets, an even better job than she had originally.
Yeah.
Yeah, but all right. We have the final, I almost said hometown again, the final overnight date. I said that the first take of when we were trying to record the podcast. I'll out myself here. Yes, I did do that. I said hometown.
Here's the thing, Trevor. You could expose yourself, but I want you to take that back, because we always go on first take. I want everyone, I want all the listeners to know, I think we've messed up and done another take maybe 3 or 4 times. And I think that might have been the only time it's been your fault, Trevor. So you can go and expose yourself if you want, but I gotta bring that back in, all right? I gotta give you the credit you deserve, because we almost never mess up.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, we rarely mess up, but, it's always good to self-deprecate every once in a while. I don't know. It's always cool to make fun of yourself.
That's a big word. Someone get the dictionary out on that one. I don't even know if that is
it's
a
always,
word, but continue.
It's always fun to make fun of yourself a little now and then. But anyway, we got to Rachel's date. Now, on this one, obviously, we kind of got the edit, and I thought we were, nearing Maddie territory, where Maddie, obviously, last season, she was very upset of the thought of even, Matt potentially, sleeping with one of the other women, and we kind of got that whole thing, and it really got really dramatic with Maddie. We didn't get quite there with Rachel, but it seemed like maybe there was, a little bit of it trending toward there, but didn't get there. Either way, she was very emotional coming to this date. It was clear that, something was wrong. Matt saw that. And they go into this little pottery date, or I think that's what it's called, pottery, where they're, making these little cups, or I don't know what they were making. I don't know. It's something that I probably did in art class in sixth grade.
Maybe a bowl.
Yeah, something that I would have done in, the sixth grade art class. But we had that, not too eventful. Then we get into, some of the conversations they have. It seemed like, Matt kind of gives her more of the reassurance. He goes back into the, when I saw you fall, it made me really scared and, all that stuff. I don't know. He was definitely genuine. I don't know. I didn't find some of it that interesting, but, it just, again, I think it's been so many episodes in a row. It just, shows how great their connection is. You know, we got the fireworks toward the end of it. You know, we see her a lot on the episode. She's constantly cut to, like, showing how she's, you know, sad about someone else's relationship. It's just been clear to me all season that she seems like the front runner. And, you know, it seems clear to me that that is the case. But yeah, I mean, I think that's about all my thoughts on the Rachel date. It seems like they have a great connection. And yeah, but however, I said before that I don't really think Matt's ready for marriage. I don't really think Rachel is either. I mean, she's what, like 24? I don't know. I just think, like, you know, if they're going to try to have a relationship, I think definitely dating first would be the better option if that's what they were going to do. Doesn't seem like either of them are ready for marriage. I don't know. What do you think about that, Brandon?
Yeah, I like the analysis from marriage guru Trevor Reddick over here. But I would like to say, I just think they have a very good connection. You know, it's very, very apparent. I did not think he was going home this episode. I'm interested to see what happens next episode, especially since we've seen all this crying from kind of everyone all the time in the previews. And obviously we have the big moment where Matt's like, I don't know if I can do this anymore, you know, whatever. But I'm interested to see how this turns out. And I was telling Ben that during the episode about how this episode was not a good one, but I'm interested to see what happens next. And, you know, I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see what all this crying is about. Why is Rachel crying every 5 seconds? It seems like there was, like, 10 different scenes where she was crying. So, you know, very interested to see what's going on, you know, kind of post this episode into the next one.
Yeah, and I guess, like final little thought on the episode for me was, you know, we constantly throughout the season have gotten Matt's, like, weird facial expressions. We've, you know, I don't think we've talked about on the podcast, like, how he, like, seems like he kisses weird. He does a lot of weird things. I don't know. But, you know, Matt's, like, facial expressions, he'll do this thing where he'll, like, tilt back his head. I'm, like, doing it as I'm, this isn't a video podcast, but I'm, like, doing it right now. He, like, tilts back his head and he, like, does this little smirk. Like when someone's like telling him that she loves him or something. And it's like the same kind of like facial expression I would give when I was a kid when my mom says she's making chicken parm. So I just wanted to point that out because it's just, I don't know. I just found it very funny. That's really my main takeaway. Ben, did you have any other takeaways that you wanted to mention from this episode?
I mean, with the whole Rachel thing, again, it was one of those where it's like there's no way she goes home tonight. I mean, based on what we saw tonight, based on what we've seen for the last however many weeks with the edit she's getting, it just makes sense that she'll probably be in the finale, and ultimately she is. It just made too much sense for her to stay there, and it, like I said with Bree, it just, for whatever reason, Rachel just seemed like in a way better place than Bree was, so ultimately it played out the way I think most people probably expected it to. I will say, to wrap up this episode, I'm a little bit surprised. I mean, every season we get, you know, like the moment that they hype up from episode one, we get the moment, and this one, or this year, is, you know, Matt talking to Chris about, he's like, I don't know if I can do this anymore, and I'm surprised that we haven't gotten that yet. I really thought we were going to get that tonight whatever was going to happen tonight, maybe Bree, him sending her home, or her leaving on her own. I'm surprised that we haven't gotten, you know, that moment that they've been marketing and they've been promoting since week one, so I'm excited to see what that moment is, because really, I mean, I have no idea what that could be. It doesn't seem like it's going to, like, he's not in a suit, I don't think, so it doesn't seem like it's going to be, like, anything with the proposal. So I'm intrigued to see what that is going to be in the finale next week, because, like, again, that's, like, the moment they've been hyping up all season, and we haven't seen it yet, so there definitely is some intrigue going into this finale episode next week.
Yeah, I was trying to think about that too. Like, do either of you have any predictions about what it could be? I mean, it's probably a letdown. It's probably not even that big of a deal, to be honest.
I'm sure it is.
I would imagine it's a letdown. I have no clue. I don't know. The trajectory of this season is so weird that I just truly, really don't know. Trevor, any last things you want to say before we wrap up?
I think that's about it. You know, we got one more episode. We got the finale, which is going to be, it's 3 hours if you include After the Rose. So, then we're done.
Yeah, we're almost done. And we'll obviously, you know, pick this podcast back up when Big Brother happens. But that's for a little bit later. But thank you all so much for listening today. We appreciate all the support on this podcast. Go follow us on Twitter. The link is in the description. It's at The Small Baller on Twitter, or of course, go click the link. We do have the Small Ballers Bracket Challenge if you guys like March Madness basketball. That will also be on our Twitter. And if I remember to link it, I will link it in the description below too. But go join that. It'll be fun. It's free. We're just going to have a good time with that. Of course, subscribe, you know, leave us that 5-star review if you've enjoyed this podcast. We will come out next Wednesday with an episode at noon, Wednesday at noon instead of Tuesday at noon, just because of the it's going to go a little bit late. And, you know, we got to work the next day, so we're going to probably record on a Tuesday, so it'll come out Wednesday at noon. Of course, go follow our other podcasts. Small Bar Podcast comes out 4 o'clock on Sundays. That's with the three of us. We talk about some sports. Then, of course, Josh and Will have the 12th Row Podcast, which comes out. It'll be out this Thursday at noon, where they go over the past week in soccer. But with that being said, thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.